Thank you for listening to The Apprenticeship Diaries. This is part one of our interview with Jeff Bolt from Blood Moon Collective in Albany, New York.
The Apprenticeship Diaries, where raw meets refined. What it took, what it takes, and the stories that are made. Sit back and relax and join us for interviews with top tattoo artists.
Hello, Apprenticeship Diary listeners. This is Amy Nichols and
Rico Iliano.
And we're here today with Jeff Bolt of Blood Moon Collective, correct?
Yep. Blood Moon Collective, okay. You got it.
Awesome.
And in Albany, New York.
Yes, right outside. We were talking about it beforehand. It's just outside.
Just outside.
And Jeff, we reached out to each other on Facebook. There's a lot going on right now, but I haven't heard from him in a while. You did a guest spot at my former home studio. I'll make that announcement right now. It's okay. I've let everybody know that needs to know for this part, but Tattooed Heart is no longer my home. But at the time, you did a guest spot there. And before that, I met you at the Paradise Artist Gatherings.
Yes.
And that was a really cool time.
I love Paradise Gathering. That was like my favorite thing ever.
I know. I miss them.
Yeah, same.
So, you have a lot of stories. How long have you been tattooing, first of all?
A lot of stories is a easy way of putting it. I've been tattooing 10 years, like, next month, pretty much.
Wow.
Nice.
When I met you, how long was it?
So, Paradise Gathering that I met you at was 2016. And it was like early 2017 when I did the guest spot there.
Wow, dude. All right, cool.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
You're old, right? I've known you for a minute.
Yeah, a little bit.
I know. Awesome. So, when did you decide that you were like interested in tattooing before, like, you know, go way back? What spawned all that?
So I feel like it's just awful reasons. I feel like people have weird reasons sometimes, but like I was going to college for fine arts. I lost my job towards the end of that. It was just like coffee jockey at Dunkin' Donuts. But I had nothing going on after I finished my last semester. And my girlfriend at the time, she was like all about tattoos. She's like, you should try to get an apprenticeship, try to do some tattoos. I was like, yeah, all right. That sounds like something that I might be able to do. I'll see how that goes. And so it was her. She planted the seed and gave me the idea. I eventually ended up like asking a couple of people about it and getting pointed out to the shop that I ended up walking into.
Now, because I remember when I started, it was... Because we're roughly on the same timeline. I'm about 11 years in, so we're about the same. But I knew nothing really about, like, I didn't know history of tattoos, nothing. Were you the same?
I knew absolutely nothing about tattoos. I knew that I had some that were like, all right, I'm like, hey, I could probably draw at least this good. Like, I was super, super ignorant to tattooing when I came into it. I was crazy ignorant to tattooing.
Now what, so you said you were studying fine art.
Yes.
What were the specifics in the fine art that you did that, you know, you found were, I don't know, like I landed on illustration. What were your things that you really liked doing?
So I started going to college for illustration. That was my first major when I went there. And, I don't know, maybe it's my fault, but the main like semester one class that you need to do all of the other illustration classes, like, I'm trying to think of that whole setup. I don't know. I failed the main class that you needed to take all of the other classes. And at that point, I had already taken a bunch of the other like fine arts major classes. And I had talked to my painting teacher because, like, the illustration teacher was horrible. I couldn't stand her. And so I talked to my painting teacher, who was like the first hipster because it was like 2008. He was very early on the hipster scene. I was like, "Hey, man, I failed this illustration class. And I've taken all these courses and stuff, and it's going to take me forever to graduate because I failed this class. Like, what would moving over to like fine arts do for me and stuff like that? So he was the fine arts like head. So I kind of just ended up going into fine arts with working through him. And it was different. Like I wasn't, because he was a lot more open about what you do with your assignments mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Whereas the illustration teacher was really like, you need to do this subject and it needs to look like this.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, what people have told me I have to do for the last 10 years.
Well, yeah. I feel like that is, it's kind of a flaw in teaching. I feel when it comes to art anyway, like I think that when you look at it, both are good degrees for a tattoo artist because tattoo artists, you know, it's very tactile. And I feel like having an overall view of like the body and everything and not just being regulated to, you know, a square, rectangle or circular image, you know, yeah. which is a lot of the platforms that you get when you're designing for, you know, the page or a website or something like that, which would be more illustrational. The illustrational elements, the storytelling is very incremental in tattooing. But as far as like how you have to plot it on the body and all the different machines that you have to use, the tactile yeah. machines and kind of the troubleshooting, I feel like is kind of more fine arty because it demands a lot of different facets of your creative like expression. You got to be kind of willing to stretch your boundaries and be a little more loose with it. So yeah, I think that sure. was good that you found that and then found tattooing because it probably primed you and opened your mind to be like, oh, this can be anything, you know, like I can do it anything yeah. and make it into something, you know. That's cool.
Yeah.
So what was the first shop that boy. You walked into?
So the first shop that I walked into, I love saying the name is so ridiculous just right out the gate. It was Curly's House of Tattoos.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
right?
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think it was fun. It sounds like it would be fun, but it's really not. So I walk into Curly's House of Tattoos and I'm like, yo, my buddy Leah said that I'm to like come in here and ask about a tattoo apprenticeship and see if you guys are interested in like something like that. And it was like this older guy. I'll get all into him, but it was like this little old man with like a goatee and his head shaved and stuff was like old biker jacket. And it was like another white dude with his head shaved who's like some cholo guy. Like I've never seen anybody like this dude in Columbia County, New York in my entire life. I look at this guy, I'm like, okay, all right.
What am I in for?
Yeah. So I asked him if they were like in, like if there was any possibility of them doing an apprenticeship and like any of that kind of stuff. And he told me no immediately. He was like, nah, we're not doing that. And you know, I like to push. So I was like, all right, man, even though the answer is no, can I like show you my art? I brought like this big art portfolio because I was fresh out of art, you know, school for art. So I had all of my illustration stuff, all my paintings, all my charcoal drawings just like sitting in my truck outside. And I was like, yeah, man, why don't you just like look at these and tell me what you think? Tell me like what direction you think I should work on or anything like that. Maybe you have some kind of advice for me moving forward with this. And so I bring in like a stack of paintings and a stack of drawings and stuff. And him and like this cholo dude are shuffling through everything. And he didn't really have like a ton of comments on it or anything as he was going. But when he finished looking through, he basically just told me to come back Monday. He's like, all right, man, I'll see you on Monday and we'll get started on your apprenticeship. I was like, I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I went home. I was like, man, I got my apprenticeship at the first place I walked into. I hear on the internet all these nerds talking about it being the hardest thing in the world to find an apprenticeship. I just showed this dude my paintings. I got in. I'm going to be the man. That was the first thought that I had when I left, because he gave me that no, and then he looked at my stuff and he was like, yeah. I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna be like
That's awesome. How did it really go?
How it really went was it was something else. So he had me there. I think he wanted me there like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday or something like that. He had me coming in 3 days a week. I find out like while I'm doing this that he has like another apprentice. Like the reason why he said no the first time is like there was another apprentice there. And like my friend who told me to talk to this guy in the first place is also kind of an apprentice there somehow. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. And yeah, and so I forget how long it was, like a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so, maybe a little bit less. I'm not really sure because it was like, you know, 10 fucking years ago. But there was a day where all of us were there, like all three of the apprentice people are there, and this old dude, he's like an old Vietnam vet. I find out that he is like the crazy Vietnam vet. And he just like goes off on the three of us, and he's like just screaming at us about how like, oh, I don't know if you guys have like the dedication that it takes to be doing this. You guys are only here a couple of days a week, and he like does this whole thing. I was like, yeah, man, you told me to be here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He's like, yeah, those are the days I told you to be here. You could be here outside of that if you want to learn something. I went there every single day after. I was the only one of the three of them to show up every single day after that. There was never a day that I missed, because I was like, yo, man, this is what I'm doing right now. Let's get me learning how to tattoo.
First test.
Yeah, I guess so. Everybody else still got to do everything too, but I was the only one who was there every day. The Cholo dude, Elliot, there were a couple of times where he was like, him and that old man, they would have at it sometimes. It was great. There were some times where he was yelling at that old man, and he was like, why are you bothering with any of these other people? He's like, don't give any of these other people any of your attention. Like, this is the only person here who's like trying to do this. Like, the only person putting forth any of the effort is this guy. Like, why are you wasting any of your time on these people who are here for like 6 hours a week? I thought that was pretty good. Elliot was, he was my guy.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So you did have an advocate.
Yes.
Was there any structure to it that you could see, or was it just free form? Were you paid for it? How did they function this?
So it was very free form. He had me, I just like traced Spalding Flash for like the first couple of weeks I was there. I would go in, I'd be like, all right, man, what do you want me to do today? He's like, trace this flash sheet. I'm like, all right, you got it. And then like 2 hours later, I'd be like, all right, man, I'm done with this. What do you want me to do now? He's like, here, you trace another one, or get us some coffee or some shit like that. So I like, yeah, right. So I got a lot of coffee, and I traced some flash sheets for like those first few weeks. And then I was like, all right, dude, you want me to trace any more of this flash or whatever? He was like, you're wasting your time doing that. He was like, you don't need to waste any more time tracing flash. I'm like, okay. So then I sat around a lot and didn't do fucking anything. Cause it was freeform like that. And this dude had no plan for like anything for me to actually be working on any day. So I ended up just like sitting around a lot. I should note that like during this period of time, like those first couple of months. It was definitely less than 2 months after I was there. I came in and all of a sudden, like 90% of the shop is just gone. Like it's just empty in all of the stations except for the old man Dennis and Elliot's station. They're the only ones who still have shit there. And I was like, what's going on? And he's like, nobody else works here anymore. He's like, it's just us. Yeah.
And apparently, how many artists were there before then?
There was another like full-time tattooer and there was a piercer there, and it was the two of them that bailed. The full-time tattooer who left, he was out of everyone just the most experienced of them. So gotcha. The most experienced artist there, he bailed. Piercers don't really matter, but he bailed.
sorry, piercers.
Not sorry.
We'll interview one of you. Like, yeah. I'm sure there's some bumpy roads in that profession, I'm sure.
So, Cholo Elliot, I like calling him Cholo Elliot. That's pretty good. But, so Elliot, he was like an ex-con from like California who was all in with like Mexican, like LA gang shit. Like mm-hmm. he was just totally covered in prison tattoos. Like super sick California prison tattoos. And they were all like naked lesbians and stuff. But like the girls were all like secretly throwing up like the gang signs and stuff. Like he had all of his gang signs hidden on like these chicks on his arm, which was kind of crazy. Goodness. But so it was him who he was, you know, just some glorified hack guy who didn't know what he was doing. And then there was the old man Dennis. And when I got there and, you know, was working and talking to them and working everything out and stuff, Dennis tells me, I've been tattooing since the 70s. I was like, holy shit, that's a really, it's like 2010 right now. That's like 40 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
This is going to be awesome. This guy is going to show me everything. And
he is the Messiah. Like,
whenever I was there, this dude like was never tattooing, which, you know, I understood when I'm there like 3 days a week in the beginning and stuff, you're not always going to be doing the thing. The shop was a newer shop. It had only been open since like that winter before or something like that. So it was like, it was probably a good month and a half to 2 months or so almost before I saw this dude do a tattoo. And I was like, oh,
You're like, wow.
Yeah. Oh. Holy shit, what did you learn over the last 40 years, dude?
Oh my God.
Like, it was crazy. It was crazy how bad it was. And it was a very, very long time later. Like, past the point where my apprenticeship was over, I think, I found out that when this guy said that he'd been tattooing since the 70s, what he meant was that he had tattooed from 79 until like 82 or 83, at which point he had stopped entirely until 6 months before I walked in the door when he opened that shop. Like,
whoa.
This dude did nothing to like ease himself into what tattooing in 2010 would consist of. And he just bought equipment and opened a shop because he was like, I've tattooed since the 70s.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, nothing's changed. This dude needed to be told what mags were when he opened his shop. Like he was ordering like flats and stuff. And that guy Rick, he was like, bro, you don't want to order like some mags? And he's like, what the fuck is a mag?
I learned
I know what that is.
Yeah, he knows what it is now. I learned with a guy who just nothing but round shaders. Like he was like, oh, I'm so impressed by people who can use mags. And I was like, once I finally got the chance when I left him to play with the mag, because he never ordered them, I was like, holy shit, dude, why would you ever spend your time shading with a fucking round liner? I mean, yeah, you can pack it really good, like in a smaller space, but if you're doing a fucking back piece or something, you want a mag. So yeah, that is a distinction of like late 90s, I think, old school, like biker dude fucking tattoo artists. They did not expand their supply list very much.
So
that's with, crazy.
With the round shader thing, it's make me think of when I was doing, it was time to tattoo yourself. When I got to the tattooing myself part of the apprenticeship, I wanted, I'm a huge like sci-fi nerd and whatever. So I wanted like a Zerg StarCraft tattoo. I was like, yeah, I want this fucking
That's awesome.
Tattoo. I'm gonna give myself this dank alien monster thing. And this dude told me, because of like the detail on it, he was like, yeah, dude, you want to use a round shader for that. You want to like, he's like, all those details are super tight and everything. So you want to like line that with a tight 3. And then you want to do all of the shading with like a 5-round shader. So I've done like, I don't know, like 1 to 3 tattoos at that point. Now it's like, all right, man, time to do this whole tattoo with a tight 3 and a 5-round shader. It's going to be awesome.
How long did that take?
So I didn't finish it. I probably worked for a good like 3 to 4 hours or so on it. Like I spent a good 3 to 4 hours on this thing. And I got to the point where I realized that it was not getting done that day. I'm like, this is not happening anymore. But So it's on the side of my, it's on like the side of my leg, like on the side of my calf. Uh-huh. Wish that I don't want to adjust my camera and throw everything all.
It's fine.
I kind of like to do it. You know, that's the most challenging part of tattooing yourself is just figuring out how to do it. Like, so I just kind of like sat with my leg, like my ankle up over my knee and my leg just sitting across like that. So I would just kind of, I just used my leg to rest my hands on while I was working. I did that for a good like 3 hours. And when I was finished, I like just put down my machine and I stood up and I just fell right the fuck over because sitting with my leg like that, that I just been cutting off circulation to my foot for like 3 fucking hours. So I just had no sensation in my foot whatsoever. So I just like stood up and my whole leg was asleep. My whole leg just gave out. And I collapsed on the floor like all pins and needles, like screaming and crawling around.
Yep. Oh man.
Yeah.
Now you had, this is like your third tattoo that you have done.
Yeah, this was on like around my third tattoo. It was single digits for sure. Definitely single digits for sure. Probably within that first 5. I think it was around number 3 or so. What?
Do you remember what kind of machine you used?
Not really. It was some coil machine. The old guy, he had a thing for like Pacos, like old Paco liners. It might have been like some old Pacos, but I'm not sure.
Gotcha. And that way they were his?
Yeah. I was using his machines at that point. I got my starter equipment I bought off of another guy who used to work there. Like he was one of the opening crew who was just like some dude. So the over, like everything about this place is totally crazy, I think. But you know,
it sounds like a circus.
Yeah,
it does.
It for real was. But like, you know how some older people, they have like a midlife crisis and they go get a tattoo? Like this dude had a midlife crisis and decided to open a tattoo shop. And he did it because like he was working some kind of carpentry construction thing. Like he did carpentry construction and shit for like most of his adult life, I guess. And the Rick, the most experienced guy at the shop who bailed when I guess there was like a rule booklet or something that this dude tried to push on him. And they're like, fuck your rules, old man. So Rick was working carpentry with him because it was like a slow winter or whatever. So he was working with him and talking about like tattooing and all that. So he got like the idea into his head. So this dude opened up the tattoo shop with Rick. Another dude who just worked construction with him, who was like his initial apprentice guy, was like his buddy who did the thing. And and then like that scratcher guy, Elliot. And Henry, he was not there when I started. Like he had already been like, all right, I'm not doing this anymore. And I bought all of his like equipment off of him for like super cheap. I spent like $150-$200 on his four machines, power unit.
Damn,
that's whatever.
A solid deal.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's great.
$200, everything you need. $200 for yep. You know, like 20 stainless steel tubes. Like that's not a bad deal.
Like, dude, that's really like, good. Off
the tubes, that's all right. I got crazy dudes.
Cool. I was going to ask, like, did you start a lot of your apprenticeship, like learning all of the scrubbing of tubes, autoclaving, all that stuff?
Yes.
Like yeah. The bitch kind of thing.
I definitely wouldn't say that I was the bitch. And I think that he, like, as awful as crazy old man Dennis was, like, he was never like, you're the shop bitch. He was always like, you're the guy who's in charge of doing this stuff. Like that's an important job. Like just fucking do it. And he was like really, really, like really into the sanitation, like health, cleanliness aspect of it. It's which is crazy because he's the old biker guy. But like his train of thought on it was like, at least they can't say that we're like the dirty shop. Like, at least they can't say that we're not cleaning. They can't say that we're not. He was like, you know, if
I mean, that's
in
true.
The shop full of people who suck, at least you can be like, yo, man, their shop was spotless. I was the guy who was in charge of making it spotless.
That's good.
He would still do it sometimes. I'd yell at him for it. Like, I'm supposed to be mopping. Like, I want to mop the floor.
I'm taking my damn job.
That's awesome. Well, and you know, as a business owner, I would feel like that's probably, you know, the best way to be. You know, you avoid any liability that way.
Yeah.
If people are looking at the portfolios and they're like, oh, I'm signing up, at least they know they're not going to get anything with their, you know, moderately good tattoo.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's cool. That's awesome. So, what, was there any hazing or anything like that?
No, not really.
Yeah.
No, it was just awful shit. It was just bad. I definitely got yelled at. More than a few times. Again, crazy. Like, this dude was legit crazy. Like, this dude 100% has serious mental health issues. Like, for sure.
Give an example. Like, what was something that he really went in on you about?
The best example that I can think of is the one that got me to like leave the shop eventually, which was crazy. Too far into it, I stayed there for like way too long. I was like affiliated with this dude for like 2.5 years or so, and there was it was like late December. The like second client for the week showed up because it was late December, and I'm like, this old dude, he eventually stopped doing tattoos. Like he found out that he shouldn't be doing them enough. Like I shouldn't have been doing them that much more at that point. But you know, that was on me. But so this girl comes in and she wants something. I don't even remember what it is at this point. And I'm trying to like do a consultation with her. And this guy like just keeps interrupting me. Like he just keeps interrupting me to talk to her. and he's like saying some seriously crazy shit to her. Like the thing that she wanted had all of these like tight little details in it and stuff. And he's showing her like he had some like Nazi pinup girl thing on his ankle, and he's like showing her like this Nazi pinup girl, and he was like, "Oh, you see all like the lines in the swastika blended together and shit, and you can't even
Holy shit.
Yeah, dude, like it was
thank
it was
God.
Crazy. Yeah, right. So and I'm just like standing there in horror because I'm like trying to get this chick's money. I'll like,
yeah,
she's supposed to be buying me food for this week, and
yeah, like, you're trying to disarm her, and he's just kicking it up.
Yeah, and he's like just saying crazy shit to her, and so this like continues through the whole console. Like I barely get mm-hmm. to talk to this chick, even though I'm like definitely the guy who's doing this tattoo, and So when she leaves, I was like, yo, man, I didn't like how you like kept interrupting me while I was trying to talk to her. Like, it makes it seem like I don't know what I'm talking about. And he just looks at me and he's like, oh, well, when you open up your own fucking shop, you can do whatever the fuck you want. And I was just like, whoa, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to be like an ass or anything. I'm just saying, like, I think it's really disrespectful when you do that. And like, if I'm trying to talk to a client, I'm trying to, because I'm, you know, I'm the one doing their tattoo, I'm trying to like talk to them and figure this out. Like, it just makes me look bad when you interrupt me. And he was like, well, maybe you, again, he was pissed because, you know, it's December, we're not making any money. There were a lot of money issues with this dude that I can get into at some point. But he was like, well, if you want to do things, then you could just buy this fucking place for me. He's just like going absolutely crazy on me. And it was, wow. It was a little bit before we closed. So I was like, all right, man, you know what? I'm just going to go home. Maybe we could talk about it tomorrow or whatever. So I left and I came back the next day and I was like, I'm ready to talk to him about this thing. I like come back the next day. And the first thing he says when I walk in, he's like, give me your keys. I'm like, what? He's like, give me your keys for the shop. I'm like, all right, man, whatever, have them. So yeah. I'm giving him the keys. I forget if a client showed up or if one of the other artists showed up. There was another artist who also apprenticed with this dude who was there. And I don't know. Either way, some client came in at some point and he was talking to this client. And I didn't want anything to do with it. I just went back in the room. I started like painting because it was like a week before Christmas. I have all these like Christmas paintings to do for people. So I go back there and I'm painting and shit. And once that chick leaves, he like comes back into the artist area and this dude just starts screaming. He just starts losing his shit, and he's saying about how because I told him that he was interrupting me, I didn't like that. His resolution to this was that me and the other artist were no longer doing consults with the clients, and that he was going to do the consults with the clients and then assign one of us to do the tattoo depending on this thing. Yeah, right. And because she wasn't there the night before when this went down, she was just like, what happened? Because this dude was screaming.
Yeah.
He was like, he's like, if I want to fucking talk to these clients, I will. You don't know that you're doing that, like this, that, and the other. She's like, what happened? Like, what's going on? I'm like, I'll tell you what fucking happened. This dude kept interrupting me. I told him he was fucking interrupting me. So now he's just being a crazy asshole and we're just straight not allowed to talk to people. That's what's fucking happening here. Like, I lost my shit. I was screaming too. I was on Craigslist looking for another shop to work at that afternoon.
Yeah.
Like my Christmas miracle. I got a new shop to work at Christmas Eve. I was like, yay.
Oh, that's awesome.
At least that's when the ball got rolling on all that. That's when the, you know, that's when the post-apprenticeship nightmare began. But leaving the shop with that guy, like, even though I was, you know, was technically done being an apprentice and stuff, like getting the fuck out of there was like the true end of the apprenticeship. and just washing my hands of that guy forever.
Yeah. Now, to get back to like the personal aspect of this, because I do think that that's a facet. You had said that your girlfriend at the time, when you started, had encouraged you. At this point, was she still in the picture?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, she wasn't. She wasn't. She actually wasn't in the picture by the time I left there. No.
Okay.
No, she was gone. I don't want to get into that.
No, and you don't have to. I was just curious because, you know, I've had a few relationships during my time as a tattoo artist, and I feel like it's a hard blend, you know. Yeah. It's hard to find time with how even, I mean, the apprenticeship is the most concentrated amount of time that you spend really grunting and accepting a lot of abuse.
Yeah.
But later, man, just the demands of the job are really hard in itself to blend with someone. So,
yeah,
you know, you got to learn that kind of temperance and balance over time, and it takes a lot.
Yeah. So, I'll get into it a little bit just for shits and giggles. Like,
whatever you feel comfortable.
I was 22 when I started my apprenticeship. And my girlfriend at the time, she was actually like a really like bad alcoholic. But like when you're in your early 20s and you're just like partying all the time and stuff, like it's hard to tell if like, you know, people are just partying or if they have like a serious problem. And it wasn't until like about a year into tattooing or so where I realized that it really wasn't working out. She had like a lot of trust issues and stuff like that. Like alcohol was a real problem and stuff like that. But, she would like, despite getting me the idea into my head on tattooing and stuff like that, she just was kind of a toxic person. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, it's one of those things where I feel like once you find that path that you're just like adamant, you're like, this is the thing. I'm going to keep doing it. Then it's so easy to cut out toxicity because you know where you're going and you're like, dude, I can't like, and it, you know, things fall off. I mean, that's a natural process. That's why I ask, because there's a lot of people that I'm sure incur that, you know, and it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to put your foot down.
I've gotten much better at it. Gotten much better at it with age. Old man Dennis, that's one of the props I'll give him, is he told me that you don't have to take shit from anybody. I'm like, yeah. Then the day came where he was the guy I wasn't taking shit from anymore. Like, you're the guy who told me I don't have to put up with shit. Like, you're the guy who told me that if I'm in a bad situation to leave, so see ya.
Like if you give people tools, they're bound to use them against you one day. So that's cool.
Oh man. So here's getting tools. That's another jogging more memories here. Another good memory of him flying off the handle is I was tattooing like this old Italian New York City dude. This dude was awesome. He was like this little shriveled old Italian man. He was having me, the guy with 1 year of tattooing experience, give him like a Frank Frazetta Tiamat back piece. I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Crushing it, bro. So he had been tattooed a lot in like the 70s, 80s in New York City too. This Dennis, he was a New York City tattooer back in the day, or at least that's what he likes to tell people. And they were reminiscing about the old days. And so Dennis, the dude who's supposed to be teaching me everything, he's like, man, these young tattoo kids these days, they don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to do that. They got no idea how to make their own needles. And I'm just like tattooing this guy and I don't even look up. And I'm just like, yo, man, when are you going to show me how to put together some needles? When are you going to show me how to make my own needles? I probably got yelled at more for that one than I did like the one that got me fired for. That was like somehow that really sent him off the handle, is pointing out that he's the guy who's supposed to be teaching me this thing that he's complaining about me not knowing.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't know how to make them.
Did you ever make your own needles?
Yeah. I only made one set. Like I had a jig. It was part of my tattoo kit. that I bought first, you know, like the whole setup. And I, the guy that I started with, he showed me how to solder them on. And that's all that I learned. And from that point on, like I've done things like stained glass and things like that. So I feel like having watched it and done it once, if I needed to, I could figure it out. But no, it was never a regular part of my apprenticeship. It was simulated once and I did it once. And so I was like, oh, okay. It was meant to give me an appreciation for the manufactured ones that I had available to me.
I also got to learn the appreciation for that. Not through Dennis, but through this guy, Chris, that I worked with at the next shop that I was at. It was a while after that too. It was like, I'd probably been working there a year and a half to 2 years or so. And one of the guys who worked at another shop that the owner was affiliated with, he's like, he makes all of his own machines and bends all his own springs and stuff like that. So he wanted to learn needles. So he hit up Chris. He was like, oh, Chris, I know you got the stuff. Can you show me how to make needles? And I was like, I want to do that when he's doing that. I want to learn how to make needles. Like, you guys are doing it. I got nothing else going on today. I'll throw it together.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So I got my appreciation for wanting to never make needles again. I did it the only time I needed to.
Yep. I remember there was one of my favorite lectures that I actually went to at one of the Paradise Art Gatherings was Jeff Gogway, and he was talking about affiliations and things like that, and to be careful about how you give your favor to people, just simply that you should align with people that you have the utmost you know, good feelings about in the industry, because otherwise it's just not worth it. And you automatically get affiliated, whether you want to or not. And half the time the, you know, what people ask you is like, what tattoo machine do you use? What kind of needle brands? As if somehow that's going to affect the kind of tattoo that you do. And he's like, shit, dude, half the time the tattoo machine I use is something I won or somebody gave to me to try out. And he's like, and the needle brand, he's like, I eventually just got to the point where I would make my own needles just because I was so tired of, you know, the whole like question, and it really didn't matter. And I found that like making my own needles had this really neat value to it, to my clients and to the ritual of me doing the tattoo. And I would make them specifically for the tattoo I was about to do. So I was like, wow, that's really cool. You know, like that's another level of value you could add to your service. If you wanted to do that one day and be like, look what I'm, and he said it, he was like, this is what I said to my clients. This is, look what I made for you today. We're about to use these. And they're like, what? Look, you made them? And he's like, yeah, I made them and autoclaved them right before you came. So there you go. And he did, you know, like it's one of those things that you can just like that if you know how to do it.
Yeah. I mean, making 2 to 4 of them a day is better than the dudes in the 70s who are sitting in a room with no ventilation, smoking cigarettes, cranking out all of them for the next month.
Yep. And there's lead involved. Like you can't do that.
the old dude I was tattooing, he said that he made the needles for his buddy's tattoo shop back then. And that's how they would do it. He said that, like all of the solder and whatever in the air, it was like melting the fan that they had in there. He's like, shit was breaking because of all the fumes that we had in the air. We were just,
oh my God,
in this room full of death.
Dude, well, maybe that's why it was a little crazy too, man. Just huffing too much of that shit. Doesn't that make you really aggressive?
This is the other guy. This is the back piece guy.
Oh, okay.
Now I made my guy aggressive, I guess.
Got you. Again, that's crazy.
Dealing with Charlie.
So, oh my God, dude, that's crazy.
Victor Charlie.
Oh, man. So what was the next shop that you went to after Curly's?
Oh man, I don't want to go into them by name. I don't want to name them
all
out because things are like a little weird. But it was into Albany. I went into Albany. I worked with one guy there who was like kind of the real deal OG tattooer to me. His name was Chris. He's been tattooing since 1987. He's literally been tattooing for 2 years longer than I've been alive. Damn. 2 years longer than I've been alive. What am I talking about? 2 months longer than I've been alive. He was like, it's my tattoo anniversary. 30 years.
Wow.
I'm like, I wasn't even born yet. That's cute. Chris is like, he's like an OG black and gray tattoo guy. And he had a lot of knowledge. He's also crazy. He's a crazy person. He's, he's been tattooing like 32 years now. He's like, I think he's in his early 50s and he's like been a gutter crust punk his whole life. And he just takes in stray cats to nurse them back to health. But that just like leads to him living in a fucking litter box and shit. Like he's a pretty grimy guy, but he did some pretty sick tattoos and he like knew what he was talking about. And Chris was cool. I don't know. Like that was like that first shop Curly's was out in the middle of nowhere. Like it was in Columbia County, which is like a really small rural area of New York State. Albany's not that big. I don't know if people think Albany's big or not, but it's not. I think Albany has less than 100,000 people in it. It's pretty small for a state capital.
Yeah.
That was like my first step kind of into the greater tattoo community and like the bigger Albany 518 tattoo community, which is awesome. Check out Albany tattooers. They're pretty great.
That's awesome.
Then nobody knows about any of them, even though we're cool as shit. We're like a really tight knit like tattoo community. We have a local expo out here at Saratoga every year. That's awesome. It's like the wild fucking west, and we all have a lot of fun.
I should try and make it sometime. It sounds fun.
You should.
Well, that was something that kind of made me gravitate to you at the Paradise Artist Gathering, and why we hit it off was because it was that kind of community vibe that I got off of you and your friends that were there is that they were like, oh, you're kind of like us. We're like invested in this together. Let's like meet each other and like, you know, close the gap of the world a little bit more. That was cool.
It may shock you to realize how much I was faking it through that Paradise Gathering. The chick who worked with me at Curly's back in the day, she was there. She was at Paradise Gathering with that. But like everybody else that I was hanging out with, like I met over that course of that weekend for the most part. I knew Kelly and Matt before that. Like I knew like a couple of those guys personally, but there weren't a ton of people who I knew personally when I went there. I ended up doing like 3 or 4 guest spots at a Paradise Gathering. I got people I message every day who I met there from that. Like that's tight. That's the greater tattoo community though. Like Albany has its own like fun, awesome local tattoo scene that's it's pretty quiet compared to the greater tattoo scene that I fall into every once in a while with stuff like podcasts and Paradise Gatherings and shit. But there's definitely a difference between the two tattoo communities. There's for sure. Like, and I feel like that has to be true everywhere. Like, I've kind of stuck in the Albany area since I started working there, because I like the area. But I don't know. It's got its own little tattoo scene that's awesome. And then there's like the bigger national tattoo scene that has like, you know, the more well-known artists, the Instagram, what's it called? Almost called it Tattoo Master, Ink Master, Tattoo Master.
Yeah, totally.
Tattoo Master would be a better name. Shouldn't have called it Ink Master. Ink Master is a fucking terrible name. This is what happens when people don't take advice from me. We got Ink Master instead of Tattoo Master.
Yeah. Well, It's leaving the room for you to have your own thing, man. Like, you can make it better.
I'll let somebody else do it. I'm the idea man. I'm the idea man. Yeah. I'm not the guy who gets it done.
I can understand that. I'm an idea person. I kind of wait for the culminative movement to kind of spawn me. And then when I see it doesn't come, I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'll just do it myself then.
Yeah. That's, we're trying
if
to
I can jump on a party, I will. But
at my tattoo shop, Blood Moon Collective.
Yes.
I'm trying to do more like art shows there. I'm trying to promote that more. Like the owner and I have talked about it for like, we've been open 5 years this fall. And, the whole time I've been like, hey man, we should do art shows. We should do art shows. We did one like last year, or the year before that or something like that. And, I was putting one together before like all the coronavirus stuff shut everything down. That was supposed to happen like within the last couple of weekends, but it got pushed back. I was going to promote it at that local expo, which got, you know, postponed through that. So someday I'll figure out when the art show is happening, but I'm looking to try to do more art shows from that. I talked to like some of my tattoo homies in like the Massachusetts area and stuff like that. So I've got some of them participating, a lot of some others that are just in the general New York area and stuff. But I wanted to be the idea man for it, but then I found out that I was gonna have to be the person to make it actually happen. So,
well, usually with stuff like that, it comes down to that. But I think that if you're enough of a trailblazer, it'll catch fire once you get that, like, you know, first one really out of the way, and then you prove people that it's like really fun and that it could be whatever you want. Yeah. I only know from a very limited experience myself, but like, I think that's really great, to reinvest in art and making art because, you know, that's something that, you know, diversifying our craft is really important for longevity, I think, as a tattoo artist, because there's only so many hours. I mean, we don't even know how many hours we're going to be able to be bent over just doing a tattoo, you know, doing art outside of that, you know, littering our, you know, TeePublic pages or Redbubble or anything like that, you know, diversification of whatever, you know, doing a beer label or something like that, or just making art and being prolific that way, I think really helps ground it. That's why we were at the Paradise Tattoo Gathering, was to kind of reinvest.
Yeah.
And that's what they were about, was like integration of art and those classic art skills into tattooing and making sure that we keep those things going. So I hear you.
So to keep on the topic of painting for the fun of it and like that kind of stuff. So I feel like that's kind of where all of my art background comes together. Like it doesn't all come together in the tattoos as much as it comes together in the painting. And it's like kind of a weird full circle thing for me with painting, because I do a lot of watercolor, and that's just because like Albany tattoo artists are a really like trad heavy bunch. Like everybody is like super traddy daddy and doing like fucking sick roses and skulls all day and shit like that. And this guy Ryan, he was the one who like taught me how to do like spit shade watercolor kind of stuff, and that was like super huge to me, because that was like just how everybody else was painting. So I spent a lot of time just like trying to paint like that, trying to paint like that, trying to paint like that, and I'd like eventually it turned into some weird like illustrative half spit shade thing. Like it doesn't look like tattoo or spit shade kind of stuff. It looks like a real solid watercolor illustration kind of stuff. And I made a painting for one of my friends. She's about to have a baby, and she wanted to commission like some artwork for a baby's room, and I was like, oh, it's so cute. Yeah, man, let's go for it. And my girlfriend's mom is like hounding me now that I need to make like a children's book, since she saw the thing, because it has like just that kind of quality to it with like the watercolor mm-hmm. illustration that also has like the ink to really give it the hard edged lines and stuff where it needs it to hold it together. And I keep
like old Winnie the Pooh. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of is like old Winnie the Pooh or like things like that. They had that kind of structure.
The more specific one that I was channeling, she wanted, the image that she sent me to kind of get the ball rolling, it was like a frog with mm-hmm. like a raincoat and an umbrella and stuff like that, and a bunch of like little tadpoles in tow with it while I was out in the rain and stuff. So I kind of like channeled a lot of the old Frog and Toad are Friends kind of.
Yeah.
I've gotten hit up with like, oh, you know Frog and Toad? I'm like, yeah, no Frog and Toad, man. Come on. I'm no Frog and Toad.
That's awesome. And it's good to find a niche like that within tattooing, especially like if you notice that, like you said, your area is very oversaturated with this particular style. You're finding a style that can really make you shine. So that's cool.
Yeah. Certainly in painting anyway. Like tattooing, I tend to kind of be all over the place. Like I would probably say that my favorite part about tattooing is doing something possibly totally different every day. Like, I really mm-hmm. like doing like illustrative neo-traditional kind of stuff, but like I'll do like, black and gray portraits all day. Like if I suddenly got 30 people who all wanted portraits over the next month, that would be the best month of my entire fucking life. But I'll do some sick roses and some fucking crazy dank skulls with like finger waves coming out of their eyes and shit. But you know, I just like doing something different every day.
I gotcha. Do you have a lot of clients that look to you for the specifics of your like artistic wants and stuff like that? Or is it mostly they come in and they have kind of a set form and you kind of take it on there?
So
I'm just curious.
At the shop we call them Jeff Tattoos.
And, okay.
And when
that's awesome.
And people come in and they ask for something that's really ridiculous and really fucking hard, and nobody else wants to do it. And I'm like, I'll get that paper on. So like, I've done crazy shit because everybody else is like too scared to do it. I'm like, yo, man, I don't care. I'll get them in. I'll make it work. Like I like the puzzle of making it work. Yeah. Somebody last year, they wanted the Scooby-Doo mystery machine, but with like all of the 80s horror movie characters, like in the mystery machine. So yeah, and they, you know, just messaged the shop's Facebook page, just looking for whoever wants to do this fucking thing. And, like, it was crazy. It was crazy, all the stuff. It was, like vehicles are hard. Like, I don't know if other people agree with that or not. I think vehicles are
I think it's hard to find a good spot for them. Because unless they're, like, in a neat three-quarter angle, that's like the only one that I can really see. But then how do you get people hanging out of that are clear when you have that kind of angle?
We did the mystery machine with six characters in it, and it was like her full thigh. Nobody else wanted to do it. Nobody else had any interest. And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world because I was setting up for my tattoo that day. And somebody like looks out the front door and they see somebody walk into the shop and they have like a stack of papers in their hand, which like nothing is worse than the consult that comes in with the stack of papers. Give me three. No more than three papers.
Three.
More than three papers.
I still have a file from a woman who literally, I was like, you have had to have used a full ribbon of printer ink, like a full cassette full of printer ink in order to create this for me. And I haven't heard from her. She never got back to me. I don't know if she's ever gonna. It was funny because I was like, you did all this groundwork, man. And I haven't even heard from you.
my girlfriend, who I met through tattooing her like a scumbag, She got booked like a dragon tattoo with me, and she probably sent me like 30 fucking dragons. Like, she sent me so many dragons, I couldn't believe it. It was horrible. I'm not doing it, but she's getting a dark crystal sleeve right now, which is like awesome as shit. But there's a lot to the dark crystal. And I think the guy doing that dark crystal sleeve got a lot of images in his email. I could be wrong, but I think he got quite a few.
Well, I mean, you don't think that your being with her has sculpted her repertoire with other tattoo artists to this point? She hasn't heard the tales, the woes. you're like, I don't know if it's going to affect the way she does it.
Yeah, I don't think it is. No. She's been
good for her.
She's been tattooed by a lot of really awesome people. Which is also good for her. I love that. It makes it rough when she asks me to tattoo her. I'm like, oh, you want me to put some piece of shit next to that super awesome thing? That sounds great. she still very much has like normal civilian client tendencies, despite working with a lot of really awesome tattooers.
I mean, I do with everything that I go to outside of tattooing. Like, I have to check myself a lot of times and go, okay, if I were trying to sculpt a good client here, what are the dumbest fucking questions I could be asking? And then I invariably ask a couple of them and I'm like, oh shit, that was dumb. I'm sorry.
I know before we came on, we were talking about the house stuff. Like, I'm trying to get a house, and I feel like a huge dumbass talking to anybody about house buying stuff. I'm like, I don't know. I buy a house. Like, that's what I want to do.
It's amazing how complicated it is and how many things you have to freaking sign at the end. I mean, it's amazing all the steps that takes. It should. It's a huge purchase.
Yeah.
But it's kind of weird that, you know, something more permanent in a lot of ways takes less of a person, you know, a tattoo. I mean, I make my clients jump through a hell of a lot of hoops to get to me just because I'm like, whoa, whoa, there. Let's slow down for a second because I'm really overwhelmed by the karma of seeing some of my first tattoos, and I don't want to have any more of that, man. If I can avoid it.
Yep.
I'm going to try.
I know that feel. My poor friend who, when I was an apprentice, one of my friends, he got both of his forearms just completely filled by me. I filled out two forearms on this guy, and he went away for college for a super long time. I haven't seen him in like years and stuff. I was hanging out with him like a couple of months ago. I'm just like looking at his forearms because he was like, hey, what do you think we can do about these? I'm like,
oh. Like, cut him off.
Cut him off.
Prosthetic.
You should get some like crazy sick bio over that, right? And just do whatever I want. So he was like gonna be a pastor, which ended up not happening. And he wanted the dove from Noah's Ark on his one forearm. Mm-hmm. He wanted the dove carrying the olive branch. So I did like the dove carrying the olive branch. I put all of like the finger waves going up around everything because I liked the idea of it like flying up through the waters and stuff like that. That thing is so fucked. The shortest way to put it is that it's pretty fucked.
It have like multiple wings or something?
I was persuaded on like color line work shit back then. Like, I didn't have my Albany Traddy Daddy training and shit like that. I was like, yeah, we'll get all of this like colored lines. We'll go through and make it look super realistic, even though I'm like 22 years old and just doing my best here. There's black lines in the finger waves and in the the olive branch, but like the rest of that tattoo is just a big old bit blue blur. And in apprenticing under some crazy Vietnam vet guy who had like to, this is bringing it back to all that. Like nobody there had any artistic background whatsoever at the shop that I was at. And after Rick had left because of the old man trying to throw his rules at him, like there wasn't anybody who had like solid tattoo theory kind of stuff there. Like it was just the old man and Elliot. Elliot didn't really know what he was doing. Old man didn't know what he was doing. And a lot of me tattooing was them just letting me do whatever I want and figure it out the hard way. And it hadn't clicked with me yet at that point that when you do like finger waves and all that, to not make the waves blue. So yeah. Like this dude's whole fucking forearm is blue. Like this dude just has a big old blue forearm with a big old dove with no lines in it and a big old going through it.
Bob Ross that shit and put some clouds on it.
Bob Ross.
He's got an inner bicep, Bob Ross, folks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's here to Happy tell me clouds. That he'll be okay.
He'll be well, like, and I think it's good to put out there, FYI folks, I think blue and green are some of the hardest colors to laser out of your skin.
That's crazy. Why is that though? Why? Like I would think black would be like the worst.
No.
I'm not the laser technician, but I have had laser technicians like work in my shop. Like there's a laser technician company in the Northeast and they travel around to a bunch of various tattoo shops. And they'll do like 1 or 2 days where they just laser out all their clients in that area. And then they'll cruise on over to like the next shop and their thing. And they have like a schedule where they're there once a month or so. And like I said, I don't know the science of it, but the way that it works is the light beams, they hit the ink particles and break them up. And it's something mm-hmm. about like the size or shape or something of the particles of blue and green ink or what they're made out of that makes it more difficult for them to break up and go through the body stream.
Yeah.
But I
believe it's about trauma to the skin. Like they don't want to, like they probably could turn up the actual laser hit, but it would do such irreparable damage to your skin that you wouldn't want it to be turned up that high for it to actually burst those particles the way they need to. So they have to hit it more often. And that's what I've heard too, is that those particular dye molecules are a little bigger.
I've had some experience getting lasered by people who don't know what they're doing with the laser either. So I've had the really hot ones.
Yeah, so
I've
burns.
Definitely experienced the really traumatic, like those, not like not as gross as some of those pictures you'll see online where it's just like that big red bubble that's going out mm-hmm. like 2 inches. But I've definitely had some like big old bubbles like that, and they take forever to heal, those big bubbles.
Yeah,
and they leave you with a big scar there afterwards. That laser company that I was talking about, they're really professional, and their whole deal is trying to they do laser so that mostly so that like tattooers can cover it. Like they mostly get it to like that cover up range, but they also want to be light and easy enough that it's not going to be really scarred up if they want total removal too.
Yeah. I've heard the progress of that. And I think they're more on par with how most laser companies are these days, is where they don't want to do excessive trauma because they know that once that scar happens, trying to get something else in that skin is just not really going to happen for a while.
Yeah.
But I remember the tales, like I never have gotten any laser done. I mean, I don't know. I should probably just to experience it, but, it's
an experience. Yes.
Yeah. I've seen some of the aftermaths of the like, oh, this is $100 for as much as you can stand kind of laser work. And it was like, whoa, dude, brutal, brutal.
I know that you have one on your back you wanted like covered from way back. Did you get started on that cover up yet? Or get that done.
No, I think that I'm. Guys are, I think that
I'll give you their info. Well, they're at expos a lot, and they do the laser at expos, and they'll usually like hook the artists up with either free or like super discounted laser sessions.
Oh, that's cool. So, I mean, honestly,
if you want to just experience the laser removal, like.
Oh, I have tattoos for that at this point. The one on my back, actually, I made peace with. I decided that I really like a lot of the blastovers with black and stuff, and I kind of know what I want that would fit that. Mm-hmm. So I think that if it was just blasted over and really just let anything that shines through shine through, I'm kind of cool with it. At this point, I don't know if you feel this way, but perfection in me with the tattoo is really, I mean, it depends on who's doing it, I guess. But I really love just the collaboration with an artist and giving them a piece of skin and an idea and kind of letting them go. Yeah. And just sharing that with somebody and wearing that share with somebody is very, it makes me feel really good. And yeah, for better or for worse, it's come up with some really cool tattoos that people are very drawn to. They're like, wow, I've never seen anything like that. I'm like, well, you probably won't unless you approach it this way.
Yeah.
You know, like, and most people don't. So for me, I don't, the perfection part of it or any kind of like sincere vision, I don't really have for things now. It's just kind of like, you know, who I'm going to meet along my path and who's going to, you know, come into my life and open up this opportunity where we get to play together and like create some cool shit. But that's really just, I'm not that tattooed actually as a tattoo artist. I mean, honestly, I could be a hell of a lot more.
I feel like I'm pretty tattooed at this point. I don't think about it, but I feel like I'm kind of there. Like,
yeah,
I'm still basically blank.
Yeah.
He wants more though.
I need my right side needs to get finished, which I don't know when that's going to happen, but my right side needs to get finished and my right thigh is open because like the piece on my side is going to go down there. And after that, I just have like, I've got like the rest of my right sleeve and my back and neck really.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of coverage, dude. That's a lot.
So
I mean,
I credit super fast tattooers to it. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well,
I've got most of the front. So part of that one that's not finished is on like the front side ribs area. So
some beastie.
I get to deal with another day getting that smashed out. That's not going to be a good time. It's awful. it's awful. I like, I'm not going to lie to people. It's terrible.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't lie to people. I mean, I always tell people, like, look, think of the worst pain that you've ever experienced in your life. And if it's not that bad, then hey, there you go. But like, if you at least set yourself up for the worst, I think that you'll be fine.
My first tattoos were on my ribs.
Yeah.
I was an idiot about that.
But see, he recently got sunburnt, which he hasn't experienced for a really long time. And he realized, oh shit, I would much rather be getting tattooed than be really badly sunburnt. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, I feel like that's way worse. Cause at least with the tattoo, you get something at the end of it.
Yeah, right.
So you don't get all these random dots.
I got a really, really bad sunburn. I went to Coney Island with my girlfriend and, I destroyed myself. Oh my God. I was so fucking red. It was horrible. Like by the time we got back upstate, she was like, you got problems, man. You need some lotion. It was like around a month before I was about to get my like ribs tattooed. It was like around a month before I was going to get my left side tattooed. And that like, it's like the edge of the sunburn is always the very last part to peel where it like goes from burnt skin to not really burnt skin and stuff like that. And that was all like, you know, the center of my ribs because that's how getting suntan works when you're just laying on the beach all day. But it was still flaking when I went out there to get my tattoo. And I was like, oh, I'm like, I'm so sorry, but like, my skin's just flaking real bad. I got sunburn a month ago, dude. It's still flaking. I can't believe it. And like half the fucking stencil on my dragon flaked off while he was trying to do it.
Oh, and he was, that's the worst.
He was like, bro,
rubbing skin off.
Yeah, he was like, bro, this all just fell off. I had to like make up the whole thing. I'm like, all right, whatever. you got this.
It's not like I gave you an easy thing to work with. You know, like what? You know what you're doing to him, so you make peace with it. That's cool.
Yeah. It was easy. It was easy for him. That's his like. That's just Tuesday for that guy. That's
Well, I have a question for you.
James Tex. I've been like throwing out like
names, but he's amazing.
He is amazing. I love him.
He's amazing.
He has hurt more than my alcoholic ex-girlfriend.
But what a man to be hurt by, man. Enviable.
So he was doing the old dragon on my side that had all the stencil like slough off of. And it's like, you know, Tex could probably tattoo a dragon blindfold by touch. Like he's the man. It would have been nothing for him. That's just Tuesday.
Yeah. I heard that he moves very fast, like impressively fast through a tattoo.
He moves unbelievably fast, indescribably fast. Like,
hey, does that mean that you get lit up more if they move faster? Like it's
arse? Usually, I mean, it's efficient, but it's usually pretty brutal.
He tattooed, man. It's crazy. It's crazy how fast he tattooed. Like I don't want to say it aloud because I feel like if people knew how fast he tattooed, like he would be booked out even more because they would be like,
no,
they'd be like, oh, I can sit for a day and get my entire leg tattooed. That sounds like a good day. Like,
yeah,
like he, the closest I'll come to talking about how fast that man tattoos is he in 1 6-hour day. He outlined the back of my leg from my knee ditch to my ankle and also did all of the color on the back of my leg from my ass cheek to my ankle in 1 6-hour
wow.
day. He tattooed my whole leg in less than 20 hours. Like he tattooed my whole leg in four sessions. It was crazy. And getting my knee ditch tattooed by James Tex was horrible. It was probably one of the worst pains ever, but it took like 5 to 10 minutes. So once he's not doing it anymore, then he's in a different spot. And it's that different spot that feels like he's holding a blowtorch too. So.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I've heard about him. I mean, you know, honestly, I don't think it does anything really to his schedule except for just major kudos, but it makes me feel bad for how long I fucking take. I mean, I guess that's where you get to eventually. Hopefully you just, you know, you learn saturation techniques that are so on point that you don't struggle in the slightest with it.
Yeah. The phrase that somebody told me a while ago was like it's not really speed, but it's like about efficiency, and it's it's about just being really efficient with how you do everything. And I don't know, you learn little shortcuts and tricks and shit like that. Somebody want like one of these efficiency tricks that somebody told me is like when you're doing like birds or like koi or dragons or whatever where it's got like feathers or scales and shit, you got to make like your feathers and scales and stuff like that the size of the mag that you're going to use for shading it. So you just do the whole scale in one pass because it's just the size of your mag. I was like, oh,
that's great,
dude. That's brilliant. I wish somebody told me to make my scales mag size 5 years ago.
Right? Seriously. Well, and that's the thing is that he does such huge body areas. And at this point, I think he like pre-draws all his designs, doesn't he? And then he asks for people to like pick them up once he designs them. So he's like pretty much, I don't know, but I feel like he doesn't do a lot of like things where people call in and like, oh, I want this, like this. He just draws them and then people get them.
I gave him a, I want this like this. The one was easy because I was like, I want a huge ass dragon on my one side. I want like a big badass dragon. And
Well, that's not really like, I want this like this.
It kind of is. Like, he clicked with me perfect on it because when I finally met up with him there, like, I have a torso-sized dragon head. Like, my dragon's fucking huge. And he was like, yeah, dude, I got from your emails that you wanted to make sure that you just never meet somebody who has a bigger dragon tattoo than you. I'm like, yeah, man, you got it. Like, do that. he's doing my other side as well. Like I said, it's been a little bit since that's gotten done because of life. But that one, I had less direction. He does like a lot of girls. I really like Texas girls. And I was like, yo, I want a sexy girl with like titties out and all that. With like, I want her with birds somehow because I don't have any birds. I was like, I want her with birds.
How to put a bird on
like,
it.
I want like bones. I want her to be like some kind of shaman-y, witch doctor-y, like bone chick. And
birds and bones.
He was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He had no idea what I meant. I was like, yo, man, I'm like, just give me a girl with like sick skeletal bone stuff and a bunch of birds. And he's like, I don't know what that is. He kept on like trying to get me to get a mermaid instead. I was like, you did scales on the whole other side of my body. I'm done with scales.
No more scales.
No more scales.
You showed him Lady Death from Marvel.
I need birds.
Yeah. I need birds.
I need birds. So, that worked out. It's been a while, so I have to refresh him on what we're doing around my thigh with it. Because his idea was awesome. Like, he didn't draw like the thigh part, but the torso part worked out great. I fucking love it. But
that's awesome.
Like, he has like birds so that they're like taking the bones and they're like bringing bones to this chick. She's got like a sick bone crown and necklace and stuff. And his thought for like the thigh area was we were gonna do like a sick skeleton wrapping around my thigh with like the birds plucking the bones out of the skeleton there. I'm like,
Now do you feel that, like, because I've felt this way, like getting tattooed by other artists, like and kind of watching their progress and stuff. Do you think that's very incremental for people to do that as often as they can in their education?
I think getting tattooed by Tex helped me immeasurably. Like, it helped me a lot. Yeah. Is just watching what he does. And like, watching James Tex tattoo is like literally watching the impossible. Like, it was crazy. I had trouble with it because I wanted to be like, bro, like, that's not how this works. Like, you're not supposed to be able to do that. Like, it was crazy. It's craziness. This dude's like just whipping out his black for like 2 seconds and he just wipes it down and it's totally solid. I'm like, I'm like, it's not how you get solid black, bro. What are you doing? I guess that's how you get solid black when you've been doing it long enough.
I remember watching Ivana tattoo. Same thing. Like, from what I could see, it was just like, she's like, you can't rush it, man. Like, you like, you rush it, but you don't rush it. It's like how you move your machine and slowing it down, honestly, and really packing. And there's that right hit. And man, she would just do like just this like line and it would just be full packed. And I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. But yeah, it's a sensibility. It's really crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
I mean, there's so much to learn. That's what I really love about tattooing, is that it always presents something more to do, something more to see, something more to aspire to. I think the more that you get tattooed, you learn, the more that you try other things, you learn. Like, I went into photography and modeling and things like that, and I started thinking about it in a completely other way, just kind of thinking, I mean, I'm a girl, you know, and I'm a sexual being, but I never really thought about the whole body, you know, like until my whole body was exposed and I was like, oh, okay. So maybe I should, you know, when I'm designing something, think about that completely when I'm doing something, instead of just, cause everybody like gives you the body part within the boundaries of their shirts, or yeah, like, oh, I want it to look good in my bikini or whatever. Like, for me, the ultimate is like, you're naked. Like, the person that you have chosen to spend the rest of your life with, that's the person who sees your tattoos. Like, that's like the ultimate.
I make everything so huge. Like,
I know.
My I know, she said. Like,
I know, me too.
We'll have like, you know, our tat buddies like stop in here, and I don't know. I work just so much. Like, traditional tattoos are all usually like palm to hand sized. Like, you know, you can get like some bigger chest plates or whatever like that, but like, there's not a lot of huge traditional tattoos. So like, that's kind of a part where I branch out a little here compared to like traddiness, is like, mm-hmm, we'll have buddies stop in and they'll see me like working on like the whole side of a leg or a thigh or something, and they're like, do you ever just not do huge tattoos? I'm like, nah. I'm like, nah.
No.
I just tell them that whatever part they want that tattoo on is just getting filled with it. Like, that's how they do it. And they're, I don't know.
I think it's good to think big when it comes to tattoos. You know, because honestly, like, I think the further you can be away and still register the tattoo, at least aesthetically, and have it please the eye, the more successful the tattoo is. Like, yeah, and the more I get older in this, that's kind of my goal, is to be able to stand across the room and see a body and be like, holy shit. Like, just even if I don't see everything, just be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I love how that flows. Like, I love how the colors hit everywhere. It's amazing.
Yeah. There's like the, to me, there's like the two levels of a tattoo composition like that. There's like your tattoo at a glance, where you really just see those major forms and like what the thing is. I've always told people the most important rule number one thing for like your tattoo is to be able to tell what it is when you look at it, which seems like a pretty basic requirement, but like, being able to know what you're looking at, is a pretty good idea. So like, there's that initial view that you recognize, and then there's those tight details in after that, and like, you know, that's the fun stuff. I think about like Bosch, Hieronymus Bosch, or I say some ancient mid European dude's name. His Garden of Earthly Delights or whatever, you got those bigger forms where it's like, there's the dude hunched over with like the big hat on or whatever, but then like, you push in and he's all hollow and he has a tavern inside him with some crazy bird man giving drinks to worm people or some shit. And like, that's the idea that I like. I like that push in aspect of tattooing. Like, mm-hmm, like, you know, from here I see like your bird on your chest. And it's like, okay, mm-hmm, you've got the bird on the chest, but then once you like push in, you have the claws that are however they are, and like the beak that's however it is, or like whatever other little details are going on like inside of the tighter version of it.
And it just depends on how much I like you as to how close you get to get. Yeah, right? 'Cause it is my chest. But yeah. I hear you. No, I completely agree. I think that's, I mean, I'm the same way. If I can make it, if it's meant to be small, then it's small. Like, yeah. I feel like a clean idea doesn't need a lot of bullshit. It's actually worse if you try to make it crazy.
Yeah.
And
I've definitely, you know, I definitely agree with that. That's like,
yeah,
that's a mistake that I've made plenty of times too, where I just kind of go a little too crazy. And, you know, it's hard to know what is and what isn't too much for a while. Like, especially if you are doing like really larger things, it's like, how much will the background take away from the subject of this, or, you know, how much does this take away from the rest of it? Because, you know, you need that big, that at a glance cohesive flow, but then you gotta pepper in those deets.
That concludes part one of our interview with Jeff Bolt from Blood Moon Collective in Albany, New York. Tune in next week for part two.
If you would like to reach out to us at The Apprenticeship Diaries, we hope that you do. You can email us at theapprenticeshipdiaries@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram. The Instagram account is @the_apprenticeship_diaries. Please feel free to follow us. We hope that you do. We'd also like to grow platforms and have more listening venues. Please feel free to contact us any way you'd like, and definitely contact us if you'd like to interview. Thank you. Thank you.